on 1116 SEN, the world of football for NSL Australia. Want to play football or other sports at a US college? Award-winning NSR can get you there. Visit nsraustralia.com.
Thanks to NSR Australia, plenty of young Australians are, as we speak, enjoying college life in the United States. And we here at 1116 SEN have the good fortune of being able to call on Michael Zapponi of Fox Football and David Davidovich of the Herald Sun on a weekly basis to look at the World Game. Specifically this week, though, a preview of the A-League Grand Final. Good evening to you, Zappers.
Yes, good evening, Finey. Massive week. Can't wait for Sunday afternoon.
The best two have made it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. The ladder at the end of the home and away season doesn't lie. And when you look back at the 10 seasons of the A-League's history, the winner of the grand final has always come from the top two teams.
And the comprehensive nature in which the two preliminary or minor semi-finals, or call them what you will, were won, suggests that we have got a blockbuster ahead of us. And also one in which a nil-all scoreline is the most unlikely of results. It looks like there are goals afoot.
Yeah, that's right. I think the first time they played this season was 0-0, yeah. And you might remember Melbourne Victory missed about 15 chances that night, and then they've played in 2-3-3 draws this season. So there will be goals, but I think Mathieu Delpierre is the big difference. He wasn't playing the last time these sides played, and he tightens up Melbourne Victory's defence. So they may score 3 victory, but I don't think they'll concede 3 this weekend.
Dave Davidovich has kept his finger on the pulse of all the stories in and around the A-League this season. And Dave, as we welcome you back to 1116 SEN, we're having to sort through one of the bigger ones of the season right in the shadows of the grand final, and that is the future of Archie Thompson.
That's right, Finey. The Melbourne Victory legend, the A-League's record goal scorer, out of contract at the end of the season, as it stands, has not been offered a deal for next year. So Archie had a presser today, and he had some pretty strong words to say. We'll touch on that later on, and perhaps even open up the lines and get people's views on what Melbourne Victory should do with Archie Thompson, because he scored 11 goals this season, and I dare say he might have a decent, sane proceedings on Sunday afternoon, Finey.
They're not easily replaced. 11 goals don't just walk into the club if it walks out of the club. Of course, there's suggestion not only that other A-League clubs would be interested in Archie, but also Malaysia and Japan. Second-tier football in Japan has come a-knocking. Have you got any firm sides that... Can you tell us of any teams that have actually made an offer to Archie, and what sort of offer would Melbourne Victory have to be countering?
Archie's former coach at Victory, Mehmet Jurakovic, is actually coaching in Malaysia at the moment. So my mail is that there is not a concrete offer on the table at the moment from Asia, but there is certainly interest there, and there will be an offer in due course. Now, the transfer window is closed in Asia at the moment. It will open up in July. So ahead of that, there will be offers on the table from Malaysia and the Japanese J-League, the second division, as far as I'm aware. And I think I'm confident at least one other A-League club, possibly two, will come in for Archie Thompson.
Can I just say that would be the most short-sighted, stupid thing to do if you're Archie Thompson, in my opinion. You've been at Melbourne Victory for 10 seasons. Stay at the club. They want him. They're not negotiating a contract yet. They wait till the season's... They want him to stay at the club, David. So it is now time to sit down once the grand final's over, nut out a deal. Yeah, it might not be as much as you can get in Malaysia. It may not be as much as you can get in Japan. But if you stay at Melbourne Victory for your 11th year, you may have a 12th. But I can tell you, I reckon he'll have 15 or 20 if he wants it in other roles at the club, like we've seen with Grant Brebner. So don't be short-sighted. Look at the longer term.
Zappa, it's a fair call, and I agree. I would like to see Archie Thompson stay at Victory. But when you say they want him, we want him, how much do they want him? And how much room have they left in the salary cap? That's the big question. Let's not forget, they've just re-signed Fahid Benkalfala, Mathieu Delpierre. They signed all the youngsters, Guerrier, Galloway, Mahazi, during the season. How much room have they left in the salary cap? I know there's not a lot left. I'm not sure exactly how much, but there's no doubt that the offer to Archie Thompson will be less than what he's currently on. He's on just over 200,000. As we speak. And remember, he was formerly the Australian marquee for Victory. It's now Mark Milligan, who we'll be speaking to in a moment. How much will they offer him? I'm not sure. It'll be less. It won't be minimum wage, which is, what, about $50,000 or whatever. But it really comes down to economics. It comes down to Archie and his mindset. It's a really interesting a conversation for another day, but just the older players and you know, coming to the end of their careers, and some of them are more prepared than others. Archie, at 36, he definitely sees himself playing for quite a few more years. Mark Bosnich, I spoke to him yesterday. He reckons Archie can play till he's 40, and he scored 11 goals this season. That's his second best return in the A-League. He's had a very good season. So I think he's, you know, fair enough in terms of digging his heels in, but... bizarre that Victory haven't offered, tabled an offer to him yet.
Let's have a listen to Archie Thompson. He spoke publicly today.
Everyone knows that I want to play on. Whether it be here, it's still yet to be decided. I think I spoke to Muskie 4 months ago and I said, where does my future lie? And he said, you know, it's a month by month, week by week thing. And, you know, it's almost getting time where, you know, the club has to make a decision.
Any temptation at all to head across the city if a new contract wasn't offered here at Victory?
Well, I'm open to anything. Like I said, I want to keep playing football. Like I said, I'm still performing. I still feel good. I still feel like I've got a lot to contribute to any team, any club. And my main focus at the moment is obviously doing a number on Sydney on Sunday.
And that really should be the main focus. This is a discussion that can be held over, because there'll be no firm decision made by any party before Sunday, so it's one that is best left till after Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not sure he'd be negotiating Monday morning. I dare say celebrations, if they win, will go well into Monday afternoon, potentially Tuesday. But certainly first thing Tuesday, they've got to catch up with Archie and have a chat and see where things are at, and probably table an offer there and then. But there's no reason why he can't play on for at least another year. I agree with Bozzer. I think he's got at least a few years left in him. When he hits the skids, it may happen pretty quickly. He's a guy that's been reliant on his pace, but he's obviously not as quick as what he was, but he's still got the trickery, he's still got the eye for goal, he's still a good player.
And let's not forget, Victory will play a lot of football next season with the Asian Champions League, so he will play a lot more football than he has had if he stays fit, as opposed to this season.
Off the SMS, any chance he could end up at Wellington with his old coach Ernie Merrick?
I think it's a fair possibility, absolutely. Wellington have come out in recent days, Ernie Merrick, and said they're looking for an experienced striker. Joel Griffiths went down with an ACL a couple of months ago, so they're looking to top up there. Ernie knows Archie well, probably be able to offer him more money, so I think that's definitely a possibility.
Dare I say this is a media distraction and a fan distraction. I doubt very much that it's a club distraction. They are focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is securing Victory on Sunday to complete the perfect A-League season. And their skipper, Mark Milligan, a great friend of this program, joins us ahead of that date with destiny. Good evening, Mark.
How are you, guys?
We're very well, and I'm sure, just confirmation that any speculation re the future of Archie Thompson, which might be good for the media, I'm sure hasn't seeped into the camp, because he's a professional and I imagine everybody is only focused on one thing, one more win.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're definitely focused, as we have been all year. You know, there's been a number of negotiations with Fayed and things like that leading into the final series. But look, one thing is, we all do know Archie's qualities, and you know, I have no doubt that something will be sorted out that both he and the club are happy with.
Millsy, can you control your kids, mate?
No, I actually can't at the moment.
You obviously don't have children, Dave.
No, I've got a few nieces and nephews, well, they sound a little bit like that. So
they're uncontrollable.
Good luck with that, mate. What did they have for dinner?
Mate, soup, because my eldest has decided she's a vegetarian this week.
Oh, no.
Just eat whatever she can get her hands on.
Oh, dear. We went through that.
Chocolates are always good.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, mate, nah. Yeah.
I'll be making some bacon in the morning. That normally gets them back.
Yeah.
That's the one.
They turn quick, smart men.
Yeah, they quickly turn on a nice piece of bacon.
Millsy, you're coming up against your old side. You've had a fantastic rivalry, obviously, from the start of the A-League back in 2005, but this season in particular, Three clashes, three draws, the last two finishing 3-3. It's been absolutely red hot. Unfortunately, I think you didn't play in the... Did you play in the last one? Were you still suspended?
Yeah, no, that was my first game back, the one in Sydney, the 3-3. And yeah, they have been. There have been three very good clashes. I think Sydney were a little bit undermanned in that first one, and I think we went with... There was about eight players that were unavailable for that first clash, and then... Yeah, they have been very memorable clashes and full of controversy. But you know, hopefully this Sunday we'll be able to get one up on them this year.
Arnie spoke about the fact that his side's, in his view, the best. I'm sure that will be used as motivation. Not if it's not by Kevin Muscat, I'm sure the players have heard those comments, and you'll store that one for kickoff time. But one of the things I've mentioned today was Mathieu Delpierre and how important he's been to the structure of this team. He wasn't playing last time these sides met. How important has he been to the structure of your 11?
Yeah, massively. I mean, he hasn't just tightened up the defence. He's helped in a lot of other areas in the sense that, having him back there and able to control situations has really allowed me to sort of free up a little bit in getting forward and probably play with more one fitting in, I guess, in the midfield than both myself and Carl. And that's just his experience. You know, that's nothing against the players that have been playing there before him. That's just he's able to lead that back line and make sure everything's organised. And, he has been immense since he came in, and he's pretty much done exactly what we knew he would. He's just he's been able to keep fit, and, he's been outstanding.
Now, Mark, you played 120 minutes in the Asian Cup final against South Korea in two positions, midfield before moving to right back when Ivan Franjic went off injured, and you've played in many big games during your... fairly illustrious career to date. What's the key in games like this? Grand finals, playoffs, sudden death games. What's the key?
Look, I think the key is that we need to stick to what we know best in our structure, and I guess in the lead up as well. You want it to be as normal as possible. I think we need to go into this game and not change anything. We need to stick to what we know, I guess, and just believe in that and trust what's got us here. I think if we go and start trying to do things differently or things that we're not used to, then, Sydney's a very good side and can take advantage of that kind of thing.
There haven't been too many players that in your current 11 that played in an A-League Grand Final, only a handful. You being someone with big game experience, have you noticed any change in body language, in talk amongst the change room during the week? And what's your role as captain through this week? Is it different to another week?
Yeah, not so much. As I said, I think both myself and the older boys, we just want to try and keep it as normal as possible, even though it isn't obviously a normal week. There is it is an exciting time and there's extra media attention around it and things like that. But I think if you can keep it as normal as possible on the pitch is my biggest goal, to make sure that all the little things are right, to make sure that we don't slip in our standards in being on time and just doing the normal things that we always do. I think that's our biggest thing. As I said, we want to go into this week and go through our routine, I guess, because that's what's got us success so far, and that's what will get us success on Sunday.
What did you make of Sydney FC's performance against Adelaide United last week? Because they were absolutely cruising at one stage, and then Adelaide United, a bit like Melbourne City, had enough chances really to get back into the game, but just didn't take them.
Yeah, Sydney started very well, and they've been very good over the last few weeks. But I guess Adelaide were always a side that, you can't keep them down, and I guess you can't stay on top for 90 minutes against them. So, sorry, guys.
There's a red card going to be issued.
Always going to come back into that match, and Sydney had to weather the storm again, and they came home strong. I think, especially over the last month, Alex Bross for them has been excellent, and will be one we'll have to watch out for on the weekend.
Mate, we'll let you go. It sounds like you've got plenty on it. I've got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old at home as well. I know what it's like. You can't tell them what to do at this time of night. Good luck on Sunday. We look forward to seeing you out there in what will be an amazing atmosphere at Amy Park. We know there's been a lot of talk about the venue, but one thing is for sure, it will create an absolute
cauldron.
It'll
be rocking.
Yeah.
It will. Thank you for having me on again, guys, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Good on you, Millsy. Good on you, Millsy.
Mark Milligan there, father, captain, expectant captain of a winning premiership team. And, of course, for some of these European and South American footballers, the concept of a grand final is, what is it for them? Halfway between a cup final and a league game?
It's completely foreign to them because they have cup finals and then they play in the league.
Correct.
And that's it. So it is completely foreign. A lot of players who are experiencing for the first time, like Del Piero and Carl Fella, are taking some time to get used to it. Yanko made the comment as well during the week for Sydney FC. But just off the SMS finding, some questions around tickets. I can tell you that I spoke to Damien de Bowne tonight, and he said that tickets go on sale to football family members tomorrow. So anyone that plays football or signs up to the FFA's football family, anyone can do that. Those tickets go on sale tomorrow to football family. There are about 3,000 of those left.
Can you still sign up tonight?
You can. So if you want to go to the A-League Grand Final, become a football family member, you'll get a number, and then you can go in tomorrow and try and get a ticket. There are only about 3,000 of those available, so they'll be snapped up tomorrow.
Do you know how much it costs to become a football family member?
It doesn't cost anything.
Brilliant. So why don't you do that right now if you are keen on a ticket and want to give yourself the best opportunity to get one? Go to the Football Australia website and become a member of the football family of Australia, and not only will you have a better chance of getting a ticket, there's other benefits as well. We will offer equal time to Sydney FC. In fact, might be a direct opponent of Mark Milligan's. Ryan Grant has had a very good season in the midfield for Sydney FC. Their coach, of course, Graham Arnold, has not been shy in saying that if you have a look at the results since the break, they're the best team in the competition. And even besides that, if you factor in availability, they're the best team in the competition. And even besides that, just we're the best team. So when we return from the break, we'll talk to Ryan Grant from the team that is coached by the man who thinks they're the very best. Well, it is the grand final that the competition deserves and the fans deserve as well, because there's no question that the two best teams, ladder position, performance over the last 7 days, and just style of football, are Melbourne Victory and Sydney FC. Ryan Grant is part of a side that, even down here in Melbourne, begrudgingly because they are Sydney, has earned the respect of the football public. We sort of have always looked up north and seen Bling FC and snubbed our noses at them, but this team deserves better than that. And Ryan Grant is one of the reasons he joins us as part of the World of Football's A-League Grand Final preview. Good evening, Ryan.
Good evening, boys.
How are you? And I guess winning respect in Melbourne isn't all that high on the agenda for Sydney FC. What you want to do is win a grand final in Melbourne, and I guess the fact that it's away from home means that it's almost a certainty, because you guys never lose away from home, do you?
Yeah, it's a bit like that this season. Yeah, obviously it's going to be pretty tough going down to Melbourne, but there's no probably better feeling than to go down to Melbourne, try and get the win. We've obviously done it before, about 5 years ago, so we know we can do it. And like you said, we've got a good record away from home this season, so I don't see any reasons why we can't do it.
Ryan, that record on the road, of course it's a great football record, but it also speaks volumes for the way the team is off the pitch. And obviously they're very tight, you guys. When you're on the road, you travel together. It doesn't work if there's divisions in the team. And I guess this year, Sydney FC appear to be a tighter unit than they ever have been. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on, to be fair. Yeah, obviously, when we travel, we're always together and we pretty much do everything together. We'll eat together. And I know a few of us boys, I even take my PlayStation away and we have little comps and little wagers on a FIFA game here and there, so we know we've got that bit of banter in the rooms. And then obviously, like I said, we eat together and we walk together, so we're always in each other's hair, and I think that just brings us closer. And like you said, I think that's showing on the pitch when we're winning away from home.
Ryan, Michael Zappone here. Thanks for joining us, mate. It's been an incredible transformation. When you look at Sydney FC last season, I think there was a period last season where the fans were protesting, they were walking out, they wanted Scott Barlow, the chairman, to leave the club. They brought in Graham Arnold, and I think that was the catalyst for the change, and then obviously Graham's experience and recruitment. Can you just tell us what Graham has brought to the club?
I think he just brought that sense of family. He sort of made every player realise that they're important and an integral part, and not only the player but the player's family and partners and whatnot. And I think it's been pretty well documented in the media last week what we've done after the game. On the weekend, I think that just proves what Arnie's done all season. I know when he first came in, it took a while to get maybe a few changes. Arnie came in with a direct thing he wanted to do, and he's implemented that over the season. And obviously, it's paying dividends now. So Arnie obviously brings all the boys together, and like we spoke about just before, with the tightness of the group and how everyone gets along, and then even the depth of the squad. I think we've got a great playing squad. I don't think I've been part of a better one, and I've been at Sydney for a while now, so that's very important, and I think that's all down to Arnie and the staff he's brought in.
Ryan, Dave Davutovic here, thanks for joining us. You came off the bench on Saturday night against Adelaide United, did well when you came on. Do you think you'll start in the grand final, and if not, what sort of role do you hope to play when you come on?
Yeah, I'll come off the bench, but I'm happy to do that. Obviously, this week, I think, obviously, we don't know the squad yet. We've only trained today, so we'll still have to wait to see the final squad and the final starting 11. But if I'm part of that starting 11, I'll be buzzing. But if not, I'll still be just as happy to come off the bench and play a part. I think everyone knows I can sort of play anywhere, so it sort of helps me when I'm on the bench. Whether Arnie wants to play me in defence or midfield, or even I'm going to put my hand up to come up front, especially in the grand final if I get the chance he's needed, maybe I score a goal. But no, I'm happy, and I know it's very cliche, and I know a lot of people say it, but I'm happy just being involved in this team. And like I said, the depth in this team is crazy. So to be on the bench, if that's my role this weekend, I'm more than happy to do that. And if I get a good amount of game time, I'll be more than happy.
You're to Sydney FC what Lee Broxham is to Melbourne Victory. I think he's played every position bar goalkeeper this year. But you make an interesting point. And when you look at the benches and the fact that these teams have drawn three times this season, you can't split them. You guys haven't lost away from home. Last week you had yourself, you had Terry Antonis coming off the bench and Shane Smeltz. You look at Melbourne Victory's bench, you got Archie Thompson, Connor Payne, Rashid Mahazi. There's some Jason Gehry as well. There's some good quality on both benches. Every chance that this goes into extra time on Sunday, the benches play a really important role, don't they?
Yeah, they definitely do. Like you said, with the draws that we've had with Melbourne this season, there's a big chance it could go into extra time and then maybe penalties from there. So I think the bench will play a major part. Like you said, both benches have got massive depth, but we've got players like Terry Antonis and Schmelzy to come on, which I think is second to none in this league of quality on the bench. So, hopefully I get the nod this weekend if I'm on the bench to get a bit of game time. And then where I play is up to Arnie, but just to be part of that would be unreal, and to be able to play my part in the grand final would be pretty freaky. So looking forward to the chance if it comes my way.
Now, there'll only be about 3,000 Sydney FC fans there due to the venue that we're playing at. What's been the talk in Sydney amongst the players and the fan group? A little bit disappointed from that perspective?
Not obviously, we'd like to get as many fans there as possible, but we know it's in Melbourne and we know it's a bit tough. But I think the stadium itself is going to always be a great atmosphere. It's a good little stadium, and there'll be a great atmosphere, like I said, and we'll have 3,000 fans there, but I don't think we need many more to hear them there. We've got a great supporter group, and I'm sure they'll come there and be ready to chant the whole game like they usually do. So, no dramas on our end. We're happy to play there and just happy to be part of it, and hopefully, like I said, our fans can chant all game and be that 12th man.
Ryan, we're expecting a spectacular game of football. Two attacking sides, and if there were chinks in either armour, it might be defensively, which is even better for the fans. But yeah, there is a bloke that plays for Sydney FC that just might be the decider. It's been quite the year for Vedran Janjetovic, and he loves the spectacular, and he might have the opportunity on the bigger stage to be spectacular again. He's had quite the season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He's been very good. He's been very consistent. And at the start of the season, when we weren't maybe playing the best that we could, he saved our bums a few times. So, yeah, he's been in spectacular form. And, yeah, we're obviously scoring a lot of goals and a lot of the strikers get recognition. But I think Vedran deserves a lot of that too. He's saved, like I said, saved our bums a few times. So, yeah, if he gets the chance to show what he can do, I'm sure he will. And hopefully he does and keeps him out of the back of the net, because we know how good Melbourne's front four are. So, yeah, it's going to be very, very dangerous for us. But I think Veds is up for it, and he's a great keeper.
And he seems like a really vibrant, outgoing personality on the pitch. What's he like on those road trips? Is he one?
You have to be as a keeper, don't you, Finey?
You do, but that might be just on pitch. Is he one of the boys that keep the group up when you're stuck in transit waiting for the plane to, or, you know, you're tarmacking, waiting for a disembark on the plane? The horrible times. Is he one of the guys that keep the boys up?
Yeah, he definitely is. I think David said it perfect. Keepers are always a little bit different, and he's no different from them. He's a great bloke and very lively and easy to talk to, and literally gets along with anyone, and he's a pretty humble bloke too. So he's very easy to talk to and have a laugh with, and yeah, he's definitely one of those boys that keeps everyone upbeat and going, and he just never seems to be in a bad mood. So he's a very positive bloke, but in saying that, a lot of our team is, and we've got a lot of characters and good fellas amongst the group. So he's no different from any of the other boys, really.
I reckon you're one of them as well. That is, good fellas, upbeat amongst the group. And as I said, Sydney FC have never really set hearts aflutter down here in Melbourne, but begrudgingly, I think most genuine football fans have really enjoyed your journey this season. It ends at Amy on Sunday afternoon. Whether it ends in glory or not remains to be seen, but we certainly thank you for being part of the big preview.
No worries, boys. Thank you.
Great stuff. Ryan Grant, super young kid. Somebody wanted me to ask whether he's found it hard to combine his football and jockey work.
Is he still there? He did a sketch for us on Fox a couple of seasons ago too. Yeah. Are you still copying?
No, he's not there. He's not there anymore.
Yeah, well, he's a
top
job.
Kid, Ryan Grant.
Did a great job of singing a I can't remember, some very girly song. I'll remember it.
Let's take a call. Michael's in Northcote. Good evening to you, Michael. Feel free to call in.
How you going, guys? Good, look, mate. I just think the FFA missed out on a great opportunity with playing the game at probably the biggest and best venue in Victoria at the MCG on a Wednesday night. I think there's a lot of people that are not going to see this great two teams that probably this year has probably been the best competition by far, and they're going to have only 30,000 there. Is the FFA not ambitious enough, or is that too much to ask to put something like that?
Michael, the grand final is scheduled for a Sunday afternoon, has been from the start of the competition 10 years ago. And the only night the MCG was available was on Friday night. But FFA and Fox Sports opted to keep it on a Sunday. They want to keep that traditional grand final day, a la the AFL on a Saturday afternoon, a la the NRL now on a Sunday evening, FA Cup, for instance, on a Saturday afternoon. So, look, you make a fair point. How many do you think would have got to the MCG had they played it there on Friday night?
I reckon they would have broken the record, mate. I honestly think so. Sydney would have come down in flocks. And I mean, it was 50,000 at Etihad, and that was just a semi-final. So I reckon they would have broken the record, personally.
Oh, I think they would have broken the record, because the record's 55,000, which is at Etihad, so they would have had more than that. The issue is travelling fans on a Friday night is difficult.
Friday's
well.
A tough one, absolutely. You're definitely not getting as many as you would on a weekend game, the Sunday Arvo. So, look, it's difficult, obviously. Etihad at 55,000 is the perfect capacity. Amy Park's too small. MCG, I guess, maybe slightly too big, but I think they would have got minimum 70, you know, depending on the weather and all that, potentially closer to 80,000. I think they got a lot of free kicks in terms of the PR and marketing, but It is what it is, and it'll be an absolute carnival atmosphere on Sunday, Arvo.
And I understand, I'm not sure whether this has been confirmed, but I know that there have been or will be plans in place for a fan fest, like you see at World Cup. So a big stage, big screens out at Gosha's Paddock. So yep, I'm not sure whether that's been confirmed, but they're certainly working on something like that.
Yeah, I think they're working on that in the background, but they haven't released it yet. I think they're waiting to sell out all the tickets, Zappers. Right. So as soon as that's done, that'll be confirmed, and yeah, it'll be great. Big screen out there. People will be able to watch the game, and there'll be barbecues and sausage sizzles and souvlakis and all sorts of stuff, I imagine.
We've had one from each camp, of course. Mark Milligan, captain of Melbourne Victory. Ryan Grant from Sydney FC. So our third and final guest in the grand final preview will be an impartial. It'll be Fox Sports Fox football commentator Andy Harper, a colleague of Michael Zappone's, to give us the final unbiased wrap and get a tip from him after the break. Welcome back to the world of football. Quick word about NSR Australia, our sponsor. And if you've got a son, a daughter, or in fact you're of age to head into tertiary study and have always wondered whether the movies are right, whether they tell the truth about college life in America, well, they sort of do, then why not consider a sporting scholarship in the United States? There are, of course, football, world football scholarships. Along with many other sports, you don't have to be a superstar. The better you are at the sport, the more likely you will be to have a reduction in your college fees. But regardless of whether you're a superstar or just a solid competitor, contact NSR Australia, the only company who is registered with not one but tens of highly prominent colleges in the United States. There are reciprocal relationships, and really, if it is to be college study in America on a sporting scholarship, then it is to be NSR Australia, nsraustralia.com.au. Andy Harper, Fox football commentator, will be part of the call team that brings this grand final to hundreds of thousands, if not over a million Australians. Good evening to you, Andy.
How are you going? Good to hear from you.
Wonderful to have you on board. Now, Zappa's just pointed out that when in Melbourne, we are also sponsored by Alpha Barbers, and he thought that you might get your head buffed there.
I need to get it polyfilled first.
Yeah, Alpha Barbers is the place to go, Harps, just when you're feeling one of those quiet afternoons. But we're seriously all looking forward to this game, and we're looking forward to hearing your dulcet tones on Fox Sports.
Hang on, when is the last time you've had a haircut, Harps? Because I remember in the 1996 NSL Grand Final, I was a young punk out at Olympic Park, right next to Amy Park. You were playing for Marconi, and there was a bit of fluff on top.
Yeah, that's not much more than that, mate. No. Last time I had it cut, goodness knows, but it gets a regular vacuum now and then.
On more serious matters, Harps, the game on Sunday, it's the dream final. What are you expecting? Is it going to be a 3-3? Is it going to be a little bit more conservative than that?
Oh, I think there'll be goals. I'm sure it'll be exciting. And I think it'll be a draw. I find it very difficult to split the teams. As we get a bit closer, I might fall more one way than the other, but I really find it difficult to, whichever way you cut it up, separate the teams. The only player of both clubs who's likely to go into the game with any question mark over their form is Sydney's Mark Yanko, their striker, of course, but there's no reason why he couldn't turn it on, given it's a championship day and given his status. So I just find it impossible to split, but I am very confident it's going to be a brilliant day, and I'm very confident it's going to be a very, very exciting game.
Which begs the question, who wins in a penalty shootout?
Well, I think that is a completely unreasonable question. I think we're doing well if you can even suggest it's going to go that far. In fact, I am tipping penalties, but, mate, how the hell, it's harder. It's enough of a lottery when you finally get there. But you've got to have a look at who's still on the field, who's played well, who's not, what sort of confidence levels there are. That is a totally unreasonable question this far out, and I'm not going
to
answer.
Do you subscribe to Graham Arnold's theory, Harps, that they've been the best side this year, barring injuries? They should have been 10 points ahead. Kevin Musker takes exception to that, as do Melbourne Victory, quite deeply within the bowels of their club. What do you make of this? This is a verbal grenade that are being thrown around at the moment.
And there'll be plenty more of them. Look, they've been... Sydney FC have probably been the best team in 2015, because I just think their points accumulation alone since the resumption after the Asian Cup just tells that story. That's only one way to look at the question, really, isn't it? How many points you accumulate? I think they're both fantastic teams. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think Sydney came out of the Asian Cup better than any other team because the recruitment they did in the January transfer window was significant. They were only able to do that, of course, because of injuries to key players, Sasha Ogdenovsky, Ali Abasnik, Carl, etc. And the gaps that those players left enabled Graham Arnold to go into the transfer market in January and pluck three very good players for the run-in to the finals. I'm talking Jacques Fati and Tavares, Michael Tavares and Stambolsia, who comes off the bench more often than not. And there's not a club in the A-League that's profited from the January transfer window as much as Sydney FC, and that's really what has set them apart from the others as far as accumulating points are concerned. What it's actually done is get them close to par with Melbourne Victory as a football team, and that's why this grand final is just going to be so fantastic. Without those acquisitions, I think in particular Michael Tavares, it would be a lot easier to pick Melbourne Victory to win the comp.
Harps, what's your take on the Stoush over Etihad Stadium and the fact that they're playing it now at Amy Park, which has a capacity of some 25,000 less?
Yeah, look, Dava, I'm angry about it. And, you know, when you're emotional angry, sometimes, well, most often you don't make a lot of sense. And I don't really understand why it's got to this. I've read a lot, all the business, and I haven't been able to agree on dates. And then, it's all right for the AFL to sit back where they sit back, but they're not football and having to work in international networks like FIFA and the AFC. So the Champions League meant that the date had to be adjusted by a week. And why things can't be accommodated, I just get angry about it. And I can't give any sense. I can't explain it any better. I don't know what it is stopping people from being a little bit more conciliatory. I mean, you know, it can be the sport A against sport B and corporate sports slugging out. That's, you know, that's one thing. But, mate, rank-and-file punters are going to miss out because, you know, people are being, in my opinion, unreasonable. And I don't understand the details of it. I'm just angry, damn angry about it.
Andy Harper has joined us. Andy, I read the tea leaves. I see Melbourne versus Sydney. I see a few hotheads on the field, a big game, and a couple of managers or coaches that have built up the fervour by game time. I'm thinking that a red card's not impossible sometime during the afternoon. Who's your favourite for the early shower?
Well, I'm not, crystal ball's not my strong point, even though I've got a head that looks like one. but I will say that I think both Sebastian Ryle and Lee Broxham are both lucky to be eligible for the grand final, put it that way. I think they both could easily have picked up second yellow cards in their semis and missed this key date, and I'm glad for both players because, you know, they've been so fantastic for the clubs, and I think particularly Lee Broxham, who's been such a great club man for the Victory. Oh, I am happy they're not going to miss the grand final, but you have to say that I don't think it's going to be a heated clash. There might be one or two flashpoints, but I think there's a collection of players who are so tricky. Calfala's going to attract attention, and sometimes the closest people can get to him is to foul him, and if his immediate opponent, if it's going to be someone like Sebastian Ryle, gets an early yellow card, he's going to be on tenterhooks for the rest of the game and could easily be drawn into a second bookable offence. But you can state that equation right around the field. So, mate, I think all the players are going to have to be on their very, very best behaviour and concentrating absolutely and completely, because there are that many fleet-footed players taking the field, clever, tricky, technical players, that to commit one foul is obviously forgivable, but if you get sucked in a second time, you'll leave your team short. So anyone could be in that discussion, really, except probably the goalkeepers at this point. And having said that, the player that is going to get sent off will be a goalkeeper because he'll charge out of the box and bring someone down.
I think the only thing we can say with some modicum of safety is that the record for most goals in a grand final by an individual player is unlikely to be broken.
Unlikely to be broken, but there are going to be goals. So three draws this year, which I just think vindicates the difficulty people are having in picking this one. All exciting games, only 1-0-0 draw, and God knows how that stayed scoreless, that match in Sydney. I mean, the first half in that game Melbourne Victory were mouthwatering, just mouthwatering. In the second half of that game, Sydney FC were unbelievably good. Still no one could score, ridiculously so. Well, I don't think we're going to have a scoreless draw tomorrow, but I find it after that very difficult to pick.
And both teams were stripped back to bare bones on that occasion because of international duty.
In that 0-0 game?
Yeah.
That's true, but I think of the players who missed chances. You remember there were two or three, Carl Fuller was in front of goal, and instead of going for goal, he squared it to Bessup. Grisha was offside, remember that one, vice versa? And, you know, that had nothing to do with absentees with international players, although that might have caused some of the openings. But when the point was made by Adam Peacock, my colleague at Fox Sports, just how destabilised the back four have been for both clubs in those three games, almost complete makeover for the grand final compared to the three league games that have played this year. So, but both are very solid. You know, Del Pierre's in when he wasn't. He hasn't played against Sydney FC, I don't think. He makes a huge difference. Jacques Fatih makes a huge difference. Matt German for Sydney FC has just bolted completely the back end of the season and looks fantastic. Petkovic at left fullback, and Nick Ansell, hopefully and seemingly free of those injuries and looking every bit the great potential that he is. So defensively very good, very smart with the ball, very well organised, very well coached, very responsive, very together teams, and very focused. I mean, what else do you want in the final? I think it's going to be a ripper.
You're tipping a draw.
I am. That's legit, isn't it?
We can ask for no more. Any truth to the rumour that as a bolstering their coverage, Fox Football are going to have a lip reader as part of the call team? In which case, I can tell you a lot of things that will come out of Kevin Muscat's mouth, begin with the letter F.
I'm with you. I don't think they need a lip reader.
No, they don't.
He's got a pretty limited repertoire in his
he ain't ordering the fried duck.
Yeah. Anyway, who are you blokes tipping? I know, and you're all talking to a Melbourne audience, basically. So, but is anyone going to break ranks, any of the three of you?
I'm tipping Melbourne 3, Sydney FC 2.
Right.
Yeah, I'm tipping a tight one, Harps, and Victory to get over the line.
Yeah, Victory 3-2 in extra time, Harps. Sorry, mate.
I don't apologise, mate. I've got no vested interest. I'm just looking forward to watching it.
I was going to tip at 5-5, but I saw there was a game today that went 5-5. And you
can... Yeah, Mass Luongo's team.
No, yeah, that's right, Swindon. Yeah. You can't have 2 5-5s in a week. So.
Well, you could. You could.
We won't. Andy, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Alpha Barbara's awaits. He's brilliant, Andy Harper. So we're done, gentlemen.
We are done.
All that remains is good luck for you. I'm sure you'll have a great day there. Zappers, you doing the boundary?
Yeah, I'll be there. 3 o'clock, we kick off our coverage, so it should be a big day.
Well, we've got to get to the news. Dave Davidovich, read his all-important articles in the lead-up in the Herald Sun and Matt Windley's. That's it for the A-League
program. Are you off to Motley Crue tonight?
I've got a Motley Crue coming in here tonight.